Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 7 and 8, we see Saul's self-centered perception as he accuses David and Jonathan of making a league against him. Let's read the passage. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me, to lie in wait, as at this day?" Saul's perception is all about him. When I read verse 8, I emphasized the word me. He says it five times in one verse of Scripture. And his perception, that's all about him, is messed up as he imagines that David and Jonathan are against him. The fact is, he was against them. He attempted to kill both of them by throwing a javelin at them, and he chased David relentlessly until, in just a few chapters later, he chased him out of the country. And yet Saul says, "You've all conspired against me, and there's none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there's none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day." Tragic. In this passage, we're going to see how warped Saul's self-centered perception had become, and we'll also examine some of the reasons he ended up in this shape. And hopefully, our study will help you see when your perception has become so self-centered. And hopefully it'll help you to understand why it has become so self-centered. Now look at this passage carefully and notice some things. Saul's perception in 1 Samuel chapter 22 verses 7 and 8 had become so self-centered that, first of all, he accused his own men of conspiring against him. He says in verse 7, "Will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds that you've all conspired against me? All of you have conspired against me." They hadn't conspired against Saul. These men that he's talking to right here were loyal to Saul. They followed him, or would have followed him, faithfully in every attempt to kill David. When David was at Keilah, these are the men that were going with Saul down to Keilah to get him when David had won the victory against the Philistines down there and was in the walled city. These are the same men that were with him at Engedi in 1 Samuel chapter 24 verses 1 and 2. There were 3,000 chosen men with him. These are the men in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 1 and 2, that were in the wilderness of Ziph with Saul when the Ziphites had come to Saul to let them know that David was hiding in the hill of Hakilah. Saul was crazy to think that these men had been bribed by David to conspire against him. These men would have never accepted a bribe from David. And David would have never attempted to bribe them. Not ever. I mean, so before having to worry about these men accepting a bribe, you'd have to be concerned about David making the bribe. He would have never done that. Now, you know something? Your perception can become so warped when you are self-centered that you end up accusing the most loyal people in your life of working together against you. Have you ever felt that way? About a spouse, about a child? I realize that some of those relationships go bad, but many times what happens is you become so stuck on yourself, you imagine that they're against you, when in fact the trouble has been started by you and they're simply reacting to your irrational behavior. And they're still loyal. And they're not against you. You're against them. Saul's perception had become so self-centered that he accused his own men of conspiring against him, but that's not all. Saul's perception had become so self-centered that he accused his son of making a league with David against him. In verse 8, he says that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse. David and Jonathan certainly did make a covenant together. The covenant was for David's protection. Jonathan agreed that he would tell David of Saul's intention to kill him. And David made a covenant with Jonathan for the protection of Jonathan's children in the event that David ascended to the throne after the death of Saul. Sometimes it was typical that the new king would kill off the seed royal. David wasn't going to do it. But in spite of the covenant they made for their mutual protection, never would either one of them plot the death of Saul. There's no way. Twice, when David had an easy opportunity to kill Saul, he let him go. The first time was in 1 Samuel chapter 24 in the cave of Engedi. Saul had come down with 3,000 chosen men of Israel. He's coming after David, and David had 600 men. He's got them outnumbered 5-1. David and his men were upon the rocks of the wild goats. And there was a cave there. And Saul went in that cave to cover his feet, to rest. And the men of David said unto him, "Behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily, but he didn't kill him. David stayed his servants with these words in verse 7 and suffered them not to rise against Saul. You see that? David had a golden opportunity to kill Saul, but he wouldn't touch him. You know something had happened again. In 1 Samuel chapter 26, in the hill of Hakilah, from verse 3 down to verse 12, Saul is laid in a trench and his men are all around him, and Abner is right there with him. And David goes down with Abishai, and Abishai says, "Let me destroy him. I'll stick him one time. I won't stick him twice." And David said in verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 26, "As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish." Verse 11, "The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go." And David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awakened, for they were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. David could have killed him. If David had wanted to kill Saul, he'd have killed him right then. He could have, but he didn't do it. You know why? He didn't want to kill him. This idea that Jonathan and David had made a league together to plot the death of Saul was just, it was just outlandish. Jonathan was faithful. He fought beside his father, even in the very last battle that either of them would ever fight on this earth. In 1 Samuel chapter 31, the Philistines have fought against Israel, and the Philistines, in verse 2, slew Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And you know what David said about them in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 23? Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. It's strange how your self-centered perception can cause you to become so paranoid that you imagine those closest to you have turned against you. And that's exactly what happened. There weren't two more loyal people to Saul than David and Jonathan. And yet, in his warped, self-centered perception, Saul got the idea and wanted these men to believe that Jonathan had made a league with David to kill him. That's really, really messed up thinking, you know it? And when you start thinking like that, you really got to be careful. You got to go, you got to get with God. You got to get with yourself. You got to get in this book, and you got to find out where you're coming from. You know, Saul's perception had become so self-centered that he accused his own men of conspiring against him. He accused his son of making a league with David against him. He accused his men of not feeling sorry for him. In verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 22, Saul says, "And there's none of you that is sorry for me." Poor, pitiful Saul. That's what he wanted. He wanted pity. He was such a whiner. Listen, he is the king. It's really strange how one so mighty could become so pitiful. When you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 9 and consider Saul's stature among his peers, the Bible says he was a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he from his shoulders and upward. He was higher than any of the people. He stood a full head and shoulder above everybody. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. And when the men of Jabesh-Gilead were being attacked by the Ammonites, Saul gathered up the entire country and marched all night to meet the Ammonites in a battle, and the Lord wrought salvation in Israel that day. I mean, boy, the Spirit of God came on Saul, and he was able to get the whole group out. There were 300,000 from Israel and 30,000 men of Judah that got together on his first call, and they all went down to help the men of Jabesh-Gilead. Now that's some kind of king right there. How did a man like that become so pitiful that he's over here going, "None of you that is sorry for me"? You know what? That's what happens when your perception becomes so warped. You think the best way to get folks to help you is to get them to feel sorry for you. Well, I've got news for you. Sit in the corner and suck your thumb, because no one but your mother's going to feel sorry for you in a case like that. You've become pitiful. Listen, never let your perception become so self-centered and warped on yourself that you got to whine to try to get up somebody to help poor little old you. Now, that's not all. Saul's perception had become so self-centered that he accused Jonathan of stirring up David against him. Look again in verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 22. "There's none of you that showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me." In other words, he's also alleging to his men that are with him that David, because they kind of liked David and they were loyal to David too, they didn't want, he said, you know, this is Jonathan instigated this. Listen, Jonathan hadn't stirred up David against Saul. As a matter of fact, when you read 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 4 through 7, you're going to see that Jonathan is the one that tried to mediate peace between them so Saul would receive David again after attempting to kill him. Jonathan said to Saul, David hath not sinned against thee. His works toward thee have been very good. He's telling his father, you'll slay innocent blood if you slay David without a cause. And so Saul was convinced and let David back in. You know, Saul's perception is so warped that he thinks Jonathan and David are out to get him. And the truth of the matter is, he's the one that tried to kill them. It was Saul who was against them, and not the other way around. Listen, you can get so messed up in your self-centered perception that you forget something. You're the one causing the fight. And the innocent people in your life, they're simply trying to defend themselves against your irrational behavior. It's not their fault. I realize that there are people who really do try to hurt other people. I understand that. But in this case, Jonathan is innocent. David is innocent. And many times in your life, the people that you're mad at are innocent. They're just trying to defend themselves against your irrational behavior. They don't even know how to act around you. You're so irrational. And the reason is that you're so self-centered. And your self-centered perception has caused you to believe that they're the problem, not you, when you, in fact, are the problem, not them. I'll tell you something else we learn from 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 8. Not only did Saul, in his self-centered perception, accuse his own men of conspiring against him, and his son of making a league with David against him, and his son of even stirring up David against him, and accusing his men of not feeling sorry for him. But he also accuses David of trying to ambush him. Look what he says at the end. There's none that showeth me that David lies in wait as at this day. He says, that showeth unto me my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. David wasn't lying in wait. He was hiding. He had to run for his life or be killed. Saul portrayed David's absence not as self-defense, but as stealth. Now listen, both times that David could have killed Saul, when he was in hiding, he refused to kill him. He wasn't trying to ambush him. Listen, when you get so messed up in your perception that you think it's all the other person's fault and that they're trying to set a stage where they can bring you down when in fact it's your fault, you've become so self-centered that you will never get your perception straightened out. And listen, if you do want to get your perception straightened out, you don't only have to admit that you're wrong. Saul did that. You need to back off until you can see the truth clearly. Because your perception is warped. Look, in 1 Samuel chapter 24, David comes out and says, look, I ripped off the bottom of your skirt. I even feel bad about that. And Saul recognized that it was David, and he says to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. Thou hast showed this day how thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. And he's going right on down with this wonderful confession and this admission of his wrong. In 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 21, when David stole the spear and the cruse of water, and Saul, you know, realized that David could have killed him, Saul says, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. There's his admission. But I'm going to tell you what, that admission won't straighten out your perception. David said, I need to just leave. I just need to leave. You know why? Because Saul hadn't changed. And if you're ever going to get this straightened out, you need to change. You need to back off until you can see the truth clearly, get your perception straightened out, and then begin to act rationally. Now, after looking at this passage of Scripture here in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 8, you may be asking yourself the question, how in the world did Saul get so messed up in his perception? Well, we're going to look at that because maybe it will help you understand why you've become so self-centered in your perception. First of all, and undoubtedly, it was because of Saul's fear of David. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 12, verse 15, verse 29, Saul was afraid of David. He was afraid of him. Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Are you afraid of the people in your life? You're going to have to get serious here now. I'm telling you, look yourself in the mirror and be honest with you. It's either fear of God or fear of man, and if it's not fear of God, it's fear of man. You afraid of him? Saul was afraid. You know what he's afraid of? That David was going to increase and Saul was going to decrease and David was going to end up on the throne. David did end up on the throne. I'll tell you something else that warped Saul's perception. His envy of David's accolades. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, after the victory over the Goliath and over the Philistines, Saul and the men, including David, are heading back, they're coming back into town. And when they come in, the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Oh boy, that'll get you. That'll get you, man. Do you envy those that are close to you? Listen again, you're going to have to get in front of the mirror, be honest with yourself, get on your knees and get before God and be honest with yourself. Is envy driving your perception of those? The Bible says not to envy sinners. They don't have to be perfect people for you to envy them. The fact that other people seem to like them better than they like you, or that they can do what you wish you could do better than you can do it, or whatever it is that causes your perception to be warped. That's what warped Saul's perception, his fear of David and his envy of David's accolades. But that's not all. The evil spirit that was in him troubled him. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. You see, the Spirit of the Lord in verse 13 came upon David, but in verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And he did. That evil spirit troubled Saul from time to time. And you know what it did? It messed up his perception. Because who do you think would want to destroy David more than the devil? I don't believe anybody would. Because David is then the one who establishes the throne for the tribe of Judah that Jesus Christ eventually gets to rule the world. While, of course, the devil would be behind that stuff. You say, well, an evil spirit is surely not warping my perception. How do you know? How do you know unless you get before God, unless you get in that book, unless you are honest with yourself? You don't realize how easy it is for an evil spirit to trouble a man. You say, well, not a Christian. Oh, don't kid yourself. Ananias and Sapphira were Christians. Peter said to Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Don't kid yourself, man. You could easily be affected by an evil spirit troubling you and causing you to have a messed up perception about people that you really would like the Lord to kill, when in fact the trouble is with you. I'll tell you something else that messed up Saul's perception. His jealousy over Jonathan's love for David. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that is David, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I'll tell you what, you talk about somebody getting jealous. Jonathan loved Saul. Like I said, he was with him right up until the very last battle that they fought. Loyal and faithful. But he did love David. And you know what? Saul didn't love David. And it really pestered him that his son loved that man. Got jealous over it. And it warped his perception. You see, his fear, his envy, the evil spirit, and his jealousy. Those are the things that worked on Saul until his perception was so warped that he thought his own son Jonathan and the Lord's anointed David were out to get him. You know what? They should have been trying to get him after he tried to kill them. But they wouldn't do that. Saul got so messed up that he thought he was justified in trying to kill the two of the most faithful men in his life. And I'm going to tell you something. That's tragic. Don't ever let yourself become so self-centered that your perception becomes so warped that you start praying that God would get certain people out of your life because you think that they're troubling you or out to get you or have one up on you or are trying to isolate you or some weird, stupid, crazy thinking. When you start thinking like that, you better get into this passage that we've just studied today about Saul and examine your own life and find out if these accusations are so or whether you're just off base because you're not thinking straight. You say, well, that wouldn't happen to a Christian. It happens to Christians all the time. And I'm going to tell you something. You want to be honest before the Lord and realize when you've got loyal and faithful people in your life that love you, those folks are not out to get you. That's just your imagination, and you've really got to be careful with that. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.